This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on Store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
We are getting new details about a possible 9/11 style commission that would scrutinize the administration's response to the coronavirus outbreak.
Who the hell's behind this?
Congressman Adam Schiff.
I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
He announced this morning that this is an idea that he has.
I have an idea.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Like, why did DeSantis do what he did? Why did Georgia wait so long? It's because they were listening to President Trump, they were watching Fox News, they were listening to Rush Limbaugh, and they were following conservatives on Twitter or social media.
And how do you explain this?
We cannot shut down because of undue fear. We're better off not closing larger events. You don't get this disease by walking into an arena where someone else in that arena has.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I've had a fever. You've had a fever. But 102, 103, 103 plus. And it was like somebody was beating me like a pinata.
You better watch your microaggressions, bro.
It was one of the, I'm telling you, I was hallucinating. My dad was talking to me.
I see dead people.
You're on what? You're on day two?
You came to me in a dream. You had on a very interesting ballet outfit, and you were waving a wand, and then you spun around and you danced away.
Well, that's there's a lot of metaphoric reality in that one.
Your family is strange.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Can you explain why you're still in the race
I heard people in a democracy have a right to vote for the agenda that they think can work for America.
They don't like you. I don't like you.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. There's been a lot of controversy over the $2 trillion bailout act that went through last week. And one of the smaller items in it, believe it or not, was $25 million for the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. And the Republicans wanted to put $1 million in, and the Democrats wanted $35 million. They compromised at $25 million. And as soon as the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts got this money, which is supposed to, all this money is supposed to be a bailout of the affected workers, and I think everyone would agree on that. The Kennedy Center got the $25 million, and then immediately furloughed or laid off 700 people, even though they had just been appropriated $25 million. And now some Republicans, led by the freshman congressman, I believe, from Wisconsin, Brian Steil, they're trying to claw back the $25 million. I think it's a great idea, and just to, I don't know if it's going to be successful, but I'd like to just, everyone should express their disappointment, shall we say, to the Kennedy Center. So joining us on the line now is Congressman Brian Steil from Wisconsin. And thank you for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Thanks for having me on.
So how did you decide to file this?
You know, God forbid, I read the bills. And when I jumped in my car and drove from Wisconsin to Washington, D.C. for this bill on Friday of last week, I spoke on the House floor that I thought the $25 million for the Kennedy Center was inappropriate. The funding should have been going to workers who lost their jobs, who need to pay their grocery bills. And it should be going to our frontline workers fighting this coronavirus, our nurses and our doctors, so they have protective equipment. And people should not use this as a vehicle to put in special pet projects like the Kennedy Center. And then after they got the $25 million, the Kennedy Center then went and laid off their workers. That was the bitter icing on the cake. And that's when people started paying attention to this. And we've been gaining support to take this money back away from the Kennedy Center. The funds that are passed should be going to help workers who lost their jobs into helping actually fight the coronavirus. It should not be used as vehicles for people's special pet projects.
How could they possibly be so tone deaf as to know that it was already controversial for them to get to $25 million? And then it seemed like 24 hours, 48 hours later, they're laying off hundreds of people.
This is how Washington, D.C. thinks. And this is why everybody here in Wisconsin and across the country gets so frustrated with business as usual. They see people cutting to the front of the line, and that's what the Kennedy Center did. They jumped to the front of the line by getting a sweetheart deal, by getting a special line item in this bill. And then they continue the Washington way. And after they hid behind their musicians and their employees, once they got their money, the elites went and cut the jobs of the people at the Kennedy Center. They took the money, and then they cut their workers. It's beyond appalling.
Have you and some of your fellow Republicans who are co-sponsoring this, have you heard from any of the workers? I mean, are they happy or pleased that you're doing this after this slap in the face to them?
I've seen some posts online from some of the people that were laid off by the Kennedy Center. I think they're equally frustrated. You know, it's no way to behave after you go and get a sweetheart deal. To then turn around and to lay off your employees is just appalling.
How are the Democrats responding to this legislation?
You know, I've been shocked. I don't really view this as overly partisan. I mean, everybody should be frustrated with pork getting into a bill like this. But our co-sponsors have been Republican. I continue to hope that some Democrats are going to come and join me. The bill is really straightforward. It just takes back the $25 million from the Kennedy Center. It's not overly complicated. I would love to see a Democrat get on this bill, but there are people that want their special pet projects, and Nancy Pelosi has a whole list of special pet projects that she wants, and she's got people lined up to probably help her get more in the next round, which is my biggest concern right now.
Well, you know, I read that in this $2 trillion initial package, there's also, I think, $75 million or so for various forms of public broadcasting. Is that right?
Yeah, there's other pet projects that snuck their way into this bill. The one that I just thought took the cake when I was driving out to Washington, D.C., was the Kennedy Center. What we need to do is get rid of these special pet projects and really focus in on this massive national health crisis. We need to make sure we're helping workers so they can pay their bills and cover their groceries. And we need to make sure we're helping our healthcare workers so that they have the protective equipment that they need so they can go in and help people who come down with this disease. And so we got to tackle this problem in Washington. This is the frivolous spending that just upsets everyone back home.
Well, I just thought it was rather ironic that there's at least one NPR station, radio station in Washington State, that has announced that they're not going to carry the daily briefings of the White House on the coronavirus because they don't trust the president of the United States. But I would assume that they're going to be more than willing if they get a little whatever amount of money they get out of this deal, they're going to be willing to take it, aren't they?
That's like anybody that wants a sweetheart deal. They're willing to tell you one thing to get themselves into the bill, get to the front of the line. They're willing to cut in line to get their way. And then once they get their money, they sing another song. And that's exactly what we saw with the Kennedy Center.
Well, listen, Congressman Stile, I'm glad you filed this legislation, and I hope it goes somewhere. I'm not confident, but at least you're rattling their cage and letting them know that people are just not only in Wisconsin but everywhere are not happy about what they've done.
Well, by shining a light on this kind of pork that sneaks into a bill like this, if anything, it should make people think about this when the next coronavirus bill comes, that we're not open for special pet projects to sneak in. We're going to deal with this health crisis, but we're not interested in adding in frivolous spending into the next bill.
Don't they already get millions of dollars in taxpayer funding, by the way?
They do, and there's an appropriations process where, you know, Congress can go through and analyze how the money is spent. It's when people get special treatment during a period of time of a national health emergency that it's more appalling than ever.
All right. Congressman Brian Stile from Wisconsin, thanks very much for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show. We appreciate it. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr.
You can trust him. He's not like the others.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Coronavirus sent the markets into a tailspin. Who knows what the future holds? In a time when nothing is certain, do what I do. Trust Orion Metals Exchange. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. Call them today at 1-800-912-2300. You'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Which are you more concerned about, getting the virus or losing your job?
Losing my job.
It is now a 50-50 split.
Oh, that's the mark of a good poll question. And it's just been going back and forth, seesawing all afternoon. All right, 844-500-4242. We just dip in and out of the press conference, and I heard the president saying, well, I'm going to be leaving for a while. But he said he was coming back, and I missed his explanation of why he was leaving the press conference.
He's back now. He's not at the podium just yet, but he's back.
Okay. He doesn't drink, so we know he didn't need a cocktail or anything like that.
I wonder, more hairspray.
I don't know. We're just going to keep going, and you know, if he takes some questions, we'll go back in it. And remember, some of that NPR money, is some of that money going for those nice reporters who ask him those leading questions and like to portray themselves as martyrs when he slaps back at them and says, that's a stupid question, or, you know, you're making crap up. 844-500-4242. Mr. Garcia, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
How you going, Mr. Harry? Let me tell you something. Every Channel 7 channel will not be reporting the crime. I live in Newark, New Jersey. You know Newark, New Jersey, high crime. We never know where is the crime. And already say the corona, everything is corona. I believe in my heart you have crime everywhere, but it's not reporting.
Mr. Garcia, did you see the story out of Northern Virginia? There was I think over the weekend, there was a guy who lives above a convenience store in Northern New Jersey, and I guess he works there as well. And three guys at 4:30 a.m. broke in to the convenience store. They were robbing it. They were burglarizing it. They were looting the cash register. They were stealing equipment. He comes downstairs and shoots at them and wounds one of them, and now he's been arrested. Mr. Garcia, did you see that?
Yes, I see that. Also, the number of deaths in New York is so high, we never know if the corona or people dying heart attack or people having crime. Right. We never know.
I know. And there's been stories now in the press, more in the foreign newspapers, the UK papers, that some people in Italy, medical professionals, are saying that the reason the death toll is so high in Italy is not because of the usual reasons, which is they have a lot of Chinese that were working there and more people were exposed, or the fact that the population is older than it is in almost any other country in the world. The fact is that everybody, and apparently in Italy, or at least in parts of Italy, that dies, that tests positive for the coronavirus, they just automatically list them as dying of coronavirus. And nobody really knows if that's the case or not. And the same thing could be happening over here in jurisdictions in New York. I mean, the lead story in the Globe today for a while was that a 31-year-old male in Cambridge had died of coronavirus. And, you know, there was no reporting on whether there were any underlying conditions. You know, I mean, 31-year-olds die all the time. And I hate to say it, most of the time when a 31-year-old male dies in the city, it's of fentanyl poisoning, an overdose of opioids or synthetic opioids. And it's never the lead story. Most of the time, there's just a little obit runs in the paper, if that, and it just says he died. Doesn't even say what he died of. But it, now coronavirus, they're just reporting these random deaths, and they're it's like they're I don't know. I just get a vibe of and I don't know what killed this guy, but remember when AIDS was around and they had this thing, AIDS is spreading into the heterosexual community, and really it wasn't. Remember that? Yeah, they were just trying to make it more of a even more of a scourge than it already was. I mean, I just wonder about these cases. What's killing these people? Is it coronavirus, or is it coronavirus and something else? Thanks for the call, Mr. Garcia. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve. And I'm very sorry this guy's dead. He seems like a nice guy, and he was from a family of four brothers. But 31-year-olds die sometimes. Go ahead, Steve.
I've got kind of a weird take on this thing. I'm starting to try to monitor the loss of government tax receipts.
Yes.
Because, we may actually have a lot of leverage, because they're going to be screaming for us to go back to work in about a month. And maybe we should put the screws to them and withhold some tax money or start doing business without paying taxes.
Good luck with that one, Steve. I can't endorse that. You're going to get yourself into trouble if you try that. I want the layoffs to start. I've noted this statistic before. UMass is going to come up with a $70 million shortfall just from all the money that they're going to have to refund for room and board and for tuition fees, et cetera, et cetera. I haven't heard anything about any layoffs at UMass to make up for that $70 million shortfall. Have you?
No. But I'm telling you, they're going to be screaming. They can talk big and tough and play this health crisis martial law, but they're going to be screaming for us to go back to work. And maybe we should make them sweat.
I guarantee you, Benjamin Franklin said the only two things certain in life are death and taxes, and I don't think you're going to make them sweat that way, Steve. I've seen people go to jail for not paying their taxes. I know some of them personally, and they were sweating. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We're trying to reach the woman who sent me that email about the unemployment offices being just totally overwhelmed. And again, she's not the first person who's reached out to the show through texting or phone calls about how bad and dysfunctional the system is right now. I understand they're overwhelmed, but it would be nice if they scrambled a little bit to in addition to hiring state reps' wives for lifetime appointments, $155,000 a year jobs. It would be nice if they would respond this way too. I just got an email from a political candidate, and apparently we've been talking about the fact that candidates for office at both the statewide legislative and constitutional office. Well, no, they're not running the constitutional offices, but congressional candidates are having a tough time getting signatures because of the social distancing and the fact that all the town halls, which have to certify all the signatures, the city or town halls, they're closed. So how do you get the signatures certified even if you can get them? Because you can't get them at the dumps. You can't get them at the town meetings. You can't get them at the town Democrat or Republican committee meetings. So it's they're having a tough time. And the deadline, I think, is April 28th. And finally, a legislator has filed a bill. I don't know. I think he's like a freshman legislator from the South Shore. Representative Kearney has filed legislation to amend the signature process to make sure that there are going to be enough candidates on the ballot. You know, if you didn't get your signatures early, you were planning to get them in the traditional fashion, you're up the creek without a paddle right now. And there's some pretty prominent people that are in that category, as I understand it. But we'll try to find out some more about that too as we go along. 844-500-4242. Trump's at the podium. We'll take a look. We'll listen to Donald Trump for a while, the president of the United States.
It takes a while to build them. And we have a lot. We have thousands of them being built right now. In a little while, they'll be worth about $5. But right now, they're very valuable. And we're going to have a lot of them being shipped. In fact, that's why General Motors called up before Mary. That's why others called up 2 days ago. They called up that they're all in production. And they're starting to arrive in a week and a half. But there'll be a time when we're going to build stockpiles. By the way, the states should have been building their stockpile.
Exactly.
We have almost 10,000 in our stockpile, and we've been building it, and we've been supplying it. But the states should be building. We're a backup. We're not an ordering clerk. We're a backup. And we've done an unbelievable job. Like, for instance, who ever heard of a governor calling up, sir, can you build us a hospital of 2,500 rooms? And we built it. Can you build us 4 medical centers? We built it. Can you deliver a ship, a hospital ship, with 1,000 rooms? And we did it. And we did it in Los Angeles, too. We've done an unbelievable job, these people, and thousands of people behind them. But we're a backup. Ideally, those hospitals would have had all this equipment. Ideally, those states should have had all this equipment. And I think they will the next time. You know, you heard the case where thousands of ventilators could have been had at a very inexpensive price 3 years ago. And a certain state decided not to exercise that right because they wanted to build a road or they wanted to build something else because it's big money. You're talking about, I think it was $1 billion, but you're talking about a lot of money for something that may never happen. Because normally on a ventilator, other than a pandemic or an epidemic, you wouldn't need anything like this. Hospitals have 3 ventilators, big hospitals, and they get by with it. And now they want thousands. I mean, they want thousands of ventilators. You call up a governor and they'll say, sir, could you send us 40,000 ventilators? Nobody has ever heard of a thing like this. So they've done some job. Let me just tell you, when Secretary Mnuchin spoke, they want you to call not .com, but SBA.gov, okay, for the application and for information. Okay, so it's SBA, small business, SBA.gov, okay, if you don't mind. Yeah, let's go, please.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. I want to follow up from a question yesterday regarding your administration's denial of the expansion of Obamacare's special enrollment period in the wake of this pandemic. In your own words, VP Pence gave a 5-minute non-answer, but people facing this pandemic illness and even worse, most experts say that having health care is critical to our nation's health and financial well-being. Yeah. Can you assure Americans tonight that you will reopen Obamacare marketplace so that they can be covered in this time of combined health
we're doing
and
better than
financial
that. Yeah.
Crisis?
No, I understand the question. We're doing better than that. We're going to try and get a cash payment to the people, and we're working out the mechanics of that with legislature. So we're going to try and get them a cash payment because just opening it up doesn't help as much. So we're going to work it out. So we're going to try and get for that certain group of people. It's a certain group of people. A cash payment. Go ahead.
I really want to ask you about masks, but I also just wanted to follow up on a couple of hanging threads there. Just the question earlier about the bidding. What happens, though, when states are bidding against each other on those markets?
Well, they have that, and they have to work that out. What they should do is they should have, long before this pandemic arrived, they should have been on the open market just buying. There was no competition. You could have made a great price. The states have to stock up. It's like one of those things. They waited. They didn't want to spend the money because they thought this would never happen. And their shelves, in some cases, were bare. And by the way, in some cases, they weren't. They were beautifully serviced. They did a good job. But in some cases, their shelves were bare. So the best thing they can do is when times become normalized, and they will, hopefully soon. And actually, you're going to have a lot of excess material because so much is being done right now in terms of protective gear, protective outfits. A lot's being done. It's going to be, within 6 months, it's going to be sold for the right price. They got to stack up for the next time. But we are doing that, and the admiral has done a fantastic job. Senator Schumer wrote a letter today, and he says, you should put a military man in charge. I said, well, Chuck, if you knew a little bit more, we have one of the most highly respected people in the military, the admiral. This is what he does, too, very professionally. And he's in charge, but Chuck didn't know that. Okay, Jeff first.
Mr. President, you tweeted this morning about your call with Saudi Arabia's MBS. Yeah. We've had some people say that the figures that you cited between 10 million and 15 million barrels per day is not what they're agreeing to. Can you be more specific about what?
I don't know what they're agreeing to. I think they might agree to more than that. Look, Russia.
Did he tell you that, sir?
Russia. Yeah, he did say that, actually. Russia talked about 10 million barrels. Russia and Saudi Arabia are fighting over this, and as everybody knows, it's, you know, really killing an industry, hurting Russia badly, hurting Saudi Arabia badly. I said, this is an easy one. It should be an easy one. And it may be 10, and it may be more than that. I was actually told it may be 10, as I told somebody before. It may be 10, and it may be more than that. Maybe it's 15. Maybe it goes up to 15. Could be as high as 15. And, you know, there's a tremendous oversupply right now. That industry was oversupplied before the virus. And when the virus came along, they lost 35-40% of the world. And there's an unbelievable, you can't get a ship now. Every ship is loaded to the gills, sitting out someplace in the ocean. They're storage tanks. They're not even ships. They're storage tanks. So it would be great for Russia. It would be great for Saudi Arabia. I hope they make that deal. But that's what they told me. They said I think it'll be hopefully soon. I think hopefully they'll announce something soon. Now, can a deal be broken? Can something happen where it doesn't happen? I guess. In which case, there's another alternative. But I'd rather not see that other alternative. I hope they can make a deal. I think they both want to make a deal. And they're both smart. They love their countries. They want to make a deal. It's good, but it's also good for the world if they do, because you save an industry. Yeah, please. Go ahead. Go ahead, in the back.
What do you mean by cash payments?
I'm going to let Mike, because we went over this very specifically, and I'll let you talk about it, Mike, because you responded last time.
Right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Did you notice that the first question he takes, you gave a 5-minute non-answer? Do you imagine that little pajama boy ever addressing the dear leader, Barack Obama, with that kind of question? You gave a non-answer. And you know, this whole thing about, what about the states bidding against one another? And 917 was listening to that, too, one of our texters, and said, libs only care about the sanctity of the states when it comes to legal weed and sanctuary cities. Otherwise, they want it to be out of their hands.
So it appears, Howie, we know what President Trump was doing during that 15 minutes. He had another meeting where it appears he released this letter to Senator Chuck Schumer. He said, thank you for your Democrat public relations letter and incorrect sound bites, which are wrong in every way. And he goes on to list all the things that they're doing abate the coronavirus here in the United States, and then says, if you spent less time on your ridiculous impeachment hoax, which went haplessly on forever and ended up going nowhere.
Haplessly. I love that word. What a great description.
Which ended up going nowhere except increasing my poll numbers, and instead focused on helping the people of New York, then New York would not have been so completely unprepared for the invisible enemy. No wonder AOC and others are thinking about running against you in the primary. If they did, they would likely win. Fortunately, we've been working with your state and city governments, Governor Andrew Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio, to get the job done. You've been missing in action, except when it comes to the press. While you have stated that you don't like Andrew Cuomo, you ought to start working alongside him for the good of all New Yorkers. I've known you for many years, but I never knew how bad a senator you are for the state of New York until I became president. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to call, or in the alternative, call Rear Admiral Polichek.
Which was the guy he mentioned that Schumer said, why don't you appoint a military guy to handle this? And apparently, as the president said, apparently he didn't know that there was a guy from the Navy that was running the whole operation.
Howie,
oh, man.
I think Taylor just learned a new job he could have if radio doesn't pan out. He could do the ads for politicians.
I love that word, haplessly. I don't think I've ever used that word in a column or
hearing
on the radio.
Hearing Taylor read that haplessly. Letter, it sounded like an ad. You are the worst politician New York has ever seen.
And you know, the only thing he forgot to mention was, I used to give you money. And that makes me want to throw up on TV. He did, because he said that. He said that repeatedly. And we've looked at his records. He used to give Schumer money. And he said, what am I supposed to do? I have to do business in New York City. Everybody understood perfectly why, you know, it's protection money. It's legal protection money, but that's all it was. All right. We'll be back. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
Dr. Birx was just reading off some very interesting statistics about the rates in the various states of tests that are coming back positive. And in New York, New Jersey, it's 35% positive, as opposed to in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, it's only 13%. And in many other states, it's way below 10%. Louisiana is 26% positive. So that's you know, you have the problem now is in New York, New Jersey. And they say Louisiana is going to be a problem because it's 26% positive test. But still, 13% in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, that's, well, it's a third of what it is in the New York metropolitan area. 844-500-4242. Sharon, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hello, Howie. Okay, so I would like to tell you what I fear the most is the communist, you know, in the deep state, and Nancy, and the whole shebang. And can I just give you a couple words I wrote here?
Sharon, we got to move on. We got a lot of calls where they're backed up, but I appreciate the call and keep listening to the show. Jerry from the Cape, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Howie, thanks for taking the call. You know, Nancy Pelosi thought she was the cat that ate the canary. She shot for 35 and she got $25 million for the Kennedy Center.
You know what
our great president did? He one-upped her. He replaced the entire board of trustees with 8 philanthropists, as well as former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee, and former Screen Actor Guild president, John Voight. You know, of course, as trustees, it's their obligation to audit that entity.
Right.
And I think we're going to be very pleased when we see that. Howie, you mentioned the deaths due to coronavirus, COVID-19.
Yes.
If you have diabetes, heart disease, upper respiratory problems, anything that's asymptomatic of COVID-19, post-mortem, you're added to the list. And even if you carry the COVID-19 antibody, no matter if it's suicide, murder, you're added to the list of deaths.
Right, and a lot of times in the obits they say he died of complications from coronavirus. What the hell does that mean? You know,
mortem death certificate.
There was somebody who was some kind of musician, and he was young. He was fairly young. He was in his 40s or 50s. And or maybe even in his 30s. And so I was reading the story because I was interested, you know, because obviously I'm surprised if someone in their 30s dies of coronavirus. And it said he had been battling leukemia for several years. Well, so was it again, I'm not a doctor, but I would think it was probably the leukemia was probably a greater factor in his passing than the coronavirus was. And he was certainly weakened. You know, if you have leukemia, they're giving you all kinds of treatments that weaken your immune system. We all know that. Thanks for the call, Jerry. Fred, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, good afternoon, Howie. You know, Hi. You didn't have to catch Hannity last night, did you?
No, I didn't. What was he doing?
Oh, you missed a good one. Hannity had on a representative from one of the state reps from the Seattle area up in Washington State. And what they're doing up there, you know, they're letting prisoners out of, you know, the low priority, supposedly low priority.
Like they want to do here. Like they want to do here, Fred.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it goes way beyond that. They're not prosecuting, you know, theft, B&Es, drug dealing.
Right.
They're not prosecuting any of these people. But you know what they are prosecuting, according to the police chief? Hate crimes.
Yeah, I know. I know. They're talking about, some places are talking about actually arresting you for being outside and not social distancing, or at least some people are talking, they're going to write citations. You know, Massachusetts is still moderate. They're only talking about giving you a ticket for being outside, unless you're a criminal, of course. I'm Howie Carr.